Hallelujah. 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 How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly favored? Are you anointed and appointed? Hallelujah. Are you ready in season and out? We'll see. The Bible tells us that we're to be ready in season and out of season. Amen. Would you turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1? Glory to the Lamb. Genesis chapter 1. Praise you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you. Is everybody there? Say, Lord, open my ears to hear, my heart to receive, and my eyes to see you. In Jesus' name. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, would you read it with me? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Stop. Say it again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know what the first thing that was created? Time. Hello. It says, in the beginning, the first thing that God created was time. First thing God created was time. And when there's a beginning, there's an end. God created time. And I pray tonight that we will have the reality of time. The revelation and the understanding of time. Tonight's teaching is called Reality of Time. One of the things the Lord has put on my heart is that people waste time. That they don't really truly grasp what time is. Not only what time is, but what time it is. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. It's amazing how everything is established around time. We wear watches. We hear the clock ticking. Why we go to sleep, you know, if it's close to you. People work so many hours. Some people don't work enough hours. Some people work more than what they should. Time. I'll meet you at such and such time. You know? But there's got to be a real understanding of the reality of time. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said something very powerful. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He is time. Do you know that God is time? If He created time, that means He's a part of time and He is time. Nothing was created except for in Him and through Him and for Him. Amen. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Time is past, present, and future. Somebody understand that? Time is past, present, and future. When God created time, it says in the beginning, we can look at, and I've shared this before, we can look at eternity as this, I don't know how would you explain eternity, you know, in every direction there's just endless, right? In fact, there isn't even a direction. It's just endless. The only reason why that you and I know about north, south, east, and west is because we're bound by time. But in eternity, there is no north, south, east, and west. There isn't because there is. Oh, hallelujah. Don't ask me to explain that. So God took a chunk out of eternity and called it universe. He took a big square out. And he said, I just created time. There's a beginning and there's an end. Amen? See, but first he had to create time. God created time. And in this universe, everything is specifically set up to last a certain period of time. It's like a domino effect. So that one star goes out, it affects the shift of the universe. Everything is shifting to eventually there's going to come an end. Hello? So we see here time is set in this whole universe where there's a past. Anything that is yesterday is past. There's a present, so you're walking in time right now. Then there's a time of future. So there's a time of past, there's a time of present, and there's a time of future. In the spirit realm, there is no time. Because the spirit realm is a representation of eternity. Hello. See, as you walk in the spirit, the more you walk in the spirit, the more you realize that you're not a part of this place. Because anything to do with this place is bound to time. I was sitting today, I was sharing something with Carla. I really couldn't explain it. I was sitting today after Larry and I had gone around and did some work and whatever, and then we went to grab something to eat, and I was sitting in this restaurant, and all of a sudden, everything to me looked differently. I saw people eating, and I looked around, and it was like I was there, but I wasn't there. I was actually, for a split second or whatever it was, I was not a part of time. In fact, I was waiting, and I didn't even, thoughts came. I thought, Lord, it's like, what am I doing here? But then it was all of a sudden like everything that looked where people were eating and everything and cooks and all this other stuff that was going around me, it was about to be erased. And behind this scene was eternity. And I was sitting in this place and I'm thinking, wow. And I realized, because everything that is associated with time is temporary. That's why we are walking in the natural realm, which is bound by time. But you are not bound by the time of the natural realm because you are eternal. Does everybody get this? And the Lord shared with me, and he put on my heart, he says, you know, not enough of my children focus that they're eternal. They get so caught up in the temporary. And then anxiety and stress comes because let me tell you something. Oh, God help us. When we acknowledge time, in other words, when we are submissive to time, and don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean that you got to be late for appointments and stuff like that. Okay. But when we begin to submit to the arena of time, we become anxious. We become stressful. Oh, hallelujah. Because time is actually bondage. Now, it wasn't bondage when God created it. It became bondage when Adam fell. Hello. Is everybody with me? So there's got to be a reality of time. We've really got to understand that God created time. Amen. Thank God that there's an end. Who'd want to be like this forever? Sheesh. Not me. So time is past, present, and future. In the spirit realm, you are not bound by time, so that allows you to be past, present, and future. In fact, the Bible says that you were predestined before the world began. Amen? So if you are eternal, that means that you have the ability to walk in the temporary realm associated with time, but yet walk in the eternal realm associated with eternity. Or walk in the spirit realm associated with eternity. Does everybody understand? That was something that Jesus did on this earth. Now, let me share something with you. Time does not stop. It continues to go. Time is movement. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Is it warm in here now? Whew, just got hot. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It's time to get hot and it's time to get cold, right? Glory to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? It's right after Proverbs. Would you read it with me, please? To everything, starting at verse 1, I'm sorry. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. It didn't say above heaven, did it? Hello? A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, hello, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given tasks with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is a gift from God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which has already been, and that what is to be, has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. Now we see here that time is a schedule, a movement. Time does not stand still, does it? It's a designated event with each movement. Its purpose is to complete or fulfill. That's why God created time. Why did God create time? So that he could fulfill his purpose and his will in our lives. It talks about a time to do this, a time to do that. So If we get out of time, we get out of God's will. God's will is time. It's perfect time. Amen? It's perfect timing. Without, hallelujah, without perfect timing, it's not God's will. Now, one of the things that the enemy tries to do is move you out of God's will by moving you out of God's time. In other words, God may tell you, this is something I want you to do. The problem is we go do it and not know when to do it. So everything that we think we hear, we think we have to do now. Does everybody understand that? If you think that everything that you hear you've got to do now, then you're bound by time. And that's what brings stress and anxiety and fear, because it opens the door to the enemy. I got to do it, I got to do it now! Hello? See, we must grasp the reality of time. Time is tangible. Time can either work for you or work against you. Did you ever hear anybody say, make time? Weren't you co-creator with Dad? So when he says make time, that means you're to set a schedule or appointment, something to fulfill something, to fulfill a purpose. So you and I are actually cooperating with God to make time. So God has a set standard of time. Off of the set standard of time is like offshoots that come where you and I can actually make time to help catch up time. Does everybody understand that? See, so with your cooperation, God is going to bring that which was into the present. Oh, hallelujah. How many times did you, think, man, I need to catch up on this. I've missed so much of this. I missed so much of that. Or whatever. And that's because we get bound by the time and we realize that we've wasted a lot of time. So what God draws us to is in the arena of the Spirit. Because only by walking in the Spirit can time be caught up. Hello. Other than that, if you're not walking in the Spirit and you're walking in your own flesh, you're actually wasting time. Amen. And if you're wasting time, it's not God's will, is it? Hallelujah. Now let me ask you this. Like I said, time can work for you or it can work against you. Now, it will work against you if you touch and agree with what the enemy says about getting out of time. Hello. Or getting out of God's will. Go to Acts 17. There must be a reality of time. Now, time is also associated with season. So there are times and seasons, and there are seasons and times. In fact, God established seasons that we would acknowledge times. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. He gave us 24 hours in a day so that your body could be regenerated while it slept because you're a spirit. And living in a natural realm without sleep, you can't get regenerated. Come on, see, we're going to look beyond our flesh. We're going to look beyond these other things. Without sleep, you cannot be regenerated. See, so there's a time to sleep or what they call a time to rest. Even God himself said that he rested after he created all things. Amen. Because you and I are a spirit, we must be regenerated through sleep. There is no food nor drug that don't get me wrong. It can keep you up for a long time, but eventually you're going to come down hard. Hello, I've been there. I tried to get into Guinness Book of Records to stay up for a couple of weeks. Didn't work. So the only way that you're going to truly get regenerated is to go to sleep so that your spirit can be regenerated. Amen? Because we are spirits. Hallelujah. And Acts, did I say go to Acts chapter 17? Okay. The reality of time. Ooh, glory. Acts 17 and verse 22. Do you ever notice that when a car is out of time, it runs funny? Backfires, bucks, begins to rebel. It's just not running smooth. It's the same thing in the spirit realm. And it doesn't mean that there won't be resistance. Too many people think that resistance of the enemy is not God's will. See, because they can't discern. They don't have that discernment because so many things in the natural realm keep pulling them in and they come out of God's time and they begin to get flustered, frustrated, confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And it doesn't mean that you don't know what to do, but you know it's going to come of what you're supposed to do. See, so anxiety, stress, and fear begin to enter in when you become out of time. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 22, hallelujah. I'll get there in a second. Would you read it with me? Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." Oh, hallelujah. "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'The Unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their what? Pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him." Who? "Though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." Would you read that again? "For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of all this to all by raising him from the dead." Yo. So we see here right now in this that Jesus is the ruler of our destiny. Amen. Pre-appointed times and boundaries. He is the ruler of our destiny, but without falling into his time, we get off track of our destiny. Does everybody understand that? And one of the things that, you know, we take it so nonchalantly. Well, I missed it. Well, whatever. You know, think about how much time we have wasted. Think about all the times that we've wasted in the flesh. Only God can make it up. But it's made up when you get in time with God. It's not made up by your time or somebody else's time. It's made up when you get in time with God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 31. Hallelujah. Psalm 31. So one of the things that we must get a realization or a reality of, everything must be in God's time. Because if it's not in God's time, and if the reality of God's time is not tangible to you, then you're not in time. You're not in God's time. Amen? And time will work against you, not for you. Psalm 31. And verse 9. Would you read it with me, please? Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. My soul and my body. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. I am a reproach among all of my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. I am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I hear the slander of many, fears on every side. While they take counsel against me, they scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. He says something very very powerful. My times, my schedules, my appointments are in your hands. See, the Bible says if you'll acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, he'll establish your steps. If you commit to him your work, he'll establish your thoughts. That's what he's trying to bring us into, because when you become like-minded with the Lord, oh, hallelujah, you walk in his time and not your own. Amen? You know, and you know what? You know when you're out of time. You know it. The problem is if we don't discern it and we don't know it, we become dull-minded. There's a time to go. There's a time to say. There's a time to be sent. And there's a time to be received. I see individuals walk out of God's timing all the time. And it grieves my spirit. Because I know what the end result will be. See, what you sow is what you reap. You cannot outrun it. You can't outrun it. No. I see individuals walk out of God's timing. You remember something, God never interrupts himself. Amen? In other words, he never interrupts his time, does he? What he has set, he is set to complete. He is the Alpha and Omega. In other words, he's the beginner, he's the ender. He's the starter and he's the finisher. Oh, to God be the glory. My schedule, my appointments is in your hands. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. When you begin to force God, you know, if you keep asking for something according to the way you want it, he will give it to you eventually, and it may move you out of God's time. That's why Paul said something very powerful. He said, if the Lord wills this, that, and whatever, I'll go down to here, I'll go down to there, but only if the Lord wills. And I shared this before. My wife will say, do you want to go to dinner tomorrow night? I'll say, if the Lord wills. Of course, sometimes she'll say, if Guy wills. And I say, man, no. Because you never know what's going to happen. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of appointments that are made, but it's always like, I'm not going to be bound to an appointment. I'm going to be bound to God's time and not mine. Amen? But the enemy will always try to move you off course. That is his job. If he can move you off of God's time, even his protection begins to lift from you. He knows. See, timing means that we walk with him. David always said, I see the Lord at my right hand. David was protected. If David was to stop and go his opposite way, the protection would lift. Because then when we do anything in our strength is out of God's time. Anything that we do out of our will is out of God's time. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, I think. Hebrews 1, 1. Would you read it with me, please? God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Now stop for a second. Go back to the first part where it says, in various times. That means present. See, he's going to give us a scenario here. God, who at various times, present, and in various ways spoke in time past time, to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, future, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Oh, hallelujah. Present. See, for me and you right now, it's present, past, and future. Does everybody understand that? That's exactly what he spoke here. For me and you, it's present because we are walking with the God of now. As you walk with the God of now, he fixes your past and he prepares your future. Does everybody got it? Let me tell you something. As I began to walk with the Lord, I began to find out, you know, I would used to be concerned about my past and so forth. And when the Lord said, man, will you give that to me? And as I began, I mean, I had so much stuff of my past, it was ridiculous. I mean, I was in debt, all kinds of stuff. And as I began to walk with the Lord, I began to see the Lord fix my past. I mean, I kept moving because time is not still. Time is movement, isn't it? So as I was walking, I began to walk with the Lord in this movement. In other words, I began to grow and grow with him. I began to learn more of his movements, of his character. I began to get closer to him and walking with him. I began to watch him fix my past while I continued to move into my future. See, God wants us to walk in his time. He will fix everything. I began to see things get fixed. I began to see things get restored. All kinds of things. My whole mess of my whole life and my past was getting fixed right up. And I kept walking in the future. Walking right him in the present and watching my future become manifest bit by bit. I was like, wow, this is wild. So we walk in the present. He fixes your past and he prepares your future. Now, he will bring some of the things of your past right up next to you, not to bring a stumbling block to you, okay, but to fix it. But as long as you don't get stop and turn around and try and fix your past, as long as you continue to walk in timing with God in the present, your past will get fixed. But once you turn around by yourself and put both of your little paws on the past to try and fix everything, you just walked out of God's time. Because time must become a reality to me and you. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Did we read this whole thing? Okay. Go to 1 Chronicles 12. So, everybody understand this? Everybody getting this? And if you think God's talking to you, He is. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Chronicles 12. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't it good to hear the pages on a Tuesday night? Oh, glory. We're going on the hallelujah. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Come on, it's a good night to what? Well, it means it's God's timing. Has anybody ever know of anyone or seen anyone walk out of God's timing? If you haven't lifted your hands, repent. Hallelujah. In verse 23. Some of us need to lift both legs up in the air, right? In verse 23, I believe. Or verse, 23, okay. Now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war and came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. So these were, those were the equipped for war, for battle, that everything was being turned over to David now from Saul. And the sons of Judah bearing shield and spear, 6,800 and armed for war. These are, and the sons of Simeon, mighty men of valor, fit for the war, 7,100, and the sons of Levi, 4,600, Jehoiada, whatever that is, the leader of the Aaronites. I never heard of the Aaronites. And with him, 3,700, Zadok, a young man, a valiant warrior, and from his father's house, 22 captains of the sons of Benjamin, relatives of Saul, 3,000 until then, the greatest part of them had remained loyal to the house of Saul. And the sons of Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men of valor, famous men throughout their father's house, of the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000 who were designated by name to come and make David king. Now that's a lot of dudes, man. What a war. And there's more and more. You can go all the way down. But the verse 32 is what I want to get to. Of the sons of Issachar, who had, would you read this with me? Who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Now listen to this. This is powerful. Understanding of the times and seasons allows us to know what to do. That's why time must become a reality to us. Because you know what? If you know what the time and season of God is, you'll know what to do. But if you are dull or not discerning of the time and season of God is, you will not know what to do. Hello? Did I get an amen on that? Why? Because everything is related to time. You know how people get moved out of time? Feelings. I feel this. I believe this. People get moved out of God's time, don't they? I feel this and I believe this. So let's just assume. Assuming will move you out of God's time. That's why God puts offices in the body of Christ. That's why the Bible says in a multitude of counsel there's safety and wisdom. The purpose of that is to bring us into God's time, because God's time is His will. People get married out of God's time. Hello? And trouble comes. They have children out of God's time. They accept the job out of God's time. They get moved by money instead of by God. Oh, I see that all the time. They get moved by money instead of God. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Do you all know that it's God's time for you to be here right now? Amen. You know how many people were supposed to be here and they're not? Hello. What are they doing? They're missing God's time, aren't they? Now you know what they have to try to do? Catch up. Hallelujah. But only takes a seed of mustard, the size of a seed of a mustard seed, huh? To catch up. That's called faith. Where did I say to go? Oh, Matthew. Matthew 16. Is everybody there yet? Praise God. Matthew 16, the first four verses, I believe. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know what? Oh, hallelujah. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came and testing Jesus, asked that He would show them a sign from heaven. And He answered and He said to them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky or the things in the natural, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." Spiritual. And let me tell you, there are many signs right now that are going out through the globe in the spirit where you ought to know the signs of the time. Amen. We know in our spirit. See, because our spirit associates with the things of the spirit realm, doesn't it? And we know the signs of the time. We know that there are certain things the Bible tells us to cleanse ourselves, our past from filthiness and so forth. We know that there's a time when we need to just get rid of certain things in our life. Amen? We know that there's a time when we need to stop fellowshipping with certain individuals in our life. Because it's God's time and season. Amen? God's time and season and not our own. So He calls them hypocrites. He says, you know, you know how to discern the things of the natural realm, but you can't discern the signs of the time. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And He left them and departed. He left them. Signs of the times, the reality of what season we are in and what to do is very important. What season we are in and what to do is important. But if you do not understand what season you're in or what time it is, you won't know what to do. Amen? Go to Luke 19. See, if you're in God's time, He says, "Cast your cares upon Me, for I care for you." You just won't have a care. People say, "What?" You'll say, "So what? So what?" You won't have a care. Because you'll have the reality that you're not bound by time, even though you live in it. You're bound to Christ, which is eternal. Think about the world, and especially in the workplace, and things have to be done in time. Because if it's not done in time, it's money. Ooh. Think about that. If it's not done in time, it's money. So money, hello, money begins to run time and causes man to become a slave to time. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Does everybody understand this? Good, you can explain it to me later. I'm only kidding. Praise God. Is it warm in here? It's cooking over here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Luke 19. Is everybody there? In verse 41. And if you'd read it with me, please. Now Jesus drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. You know why? They missed. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Whew. That is powerful. In other words, if you do not know the time, people miss God and they fall into destruction. They miss God and their children are not rescued. They miss God. If it's not in God's time, see, the Bible says that your house is guaranteed to be saved. But you better be in God's time. Because God's time is His will. We must begin to get the reality that God's time is His will. The enemy wants to interfere with God's will, so he's going to interfere with His time in your life. Hello? Remember, you and I carry the will of God, so the enemy's going to try to attack the will of God. He doesn't give two hoots about you. He just wants to make sure God's will's not done. So he's going to come after you. And one of the things he's going to try and do, and he knows that God's will is associated with God's time, he's going to try to get you out of God's time. That's something that must become a reality to me and you, that God's time is God's will. And God's will is God's time. So everything must be done according to His time. That means it's done according to His will. Or we'll miss the visitation. We'll miss the revelation. We'll miss the impartation. And we'll miss the blessing. John chapter 7. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 7. You know, I can only share with you. I can see individuals that are supposed to be here tonight. And they're not. I can see them in my spirit who are supposed to be here tonight. All of a sudden, just a bunch of faces just came before me who are supposed to be here tonight. And they're missed. They're out of God's time. We're not coming here to hear a man or see a man or be involved in a building. We're here to hear the word of God and to get in His presence. It's not about no man. We come, the Bible says, forsake not to assemble. It says there's a special anointing that comes down upon us when we're in fellowship. Amen? It's a command from God. I want to hear it for nothing else but to hear what God wants to tell us. In John chapter 7, in the first 9 verses, would you read it with me? After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. So you think if he walked out of time, he'd get killed sooner? Hello. A bummer if Jesus got stoned to death on the side of the road and never made it to the crucifixion. Come on, think about it. They were trying to kill him anyways. But he had to go other routes because it wasn't God's time to die. You know how many people die before God's time? Many. Many. People use the excuse, well, it must have been God's time. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Person ate 44 candy bars a day and ended up having a heart attack at the age of 40. Hello. In verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. His own brothers were trying to convince him to go. Trying to set him up. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to know openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. They were challenging their brother Jesus. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said to them, my time is not yet come. Back off. But your time is always ready. That's what he told his brothers. My time's not yet, but your time is always ready. So get in time. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. Like I share with you already, you may know something you're supposed to do, but you've got to do it in God's time, or it will not be fulfilled. It must be God's time. It cannot be. You cannot be moved by fear, feeling, or anger. You must be moved by God's time. Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. This is a night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it because we're in His time. Listen, God's time doesn't always feel good. Hello? It has nothing to do with what you want. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? In him we have redemption through his blood, for forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth and in him. Ooh, hallelujah. Dispensation of time was a set period that God would reveal himself and put his plan in action. That's when he came to the earth, known as the dispensation of grace. In other words, God holds back his judgment, co-labor, and favor. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That was known as the dispensation of grace, or grace meaning co-labor, favor, and holding back God's judgment. So he had an appointed time, a period of time called a dispensation. 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, chapter 3. Is everybody there? We've read this plenty of times, but let's read it again. But know this, that in the last days, are we in the last days? Amen. Perilous times will come. Perilous. Perilous times will come. Troubling, difficult, trying times will come. Amen. Perilous times will come. What's it about? It says, and men will be what? Lovers of themselves. Are they out of God's time? Amen. Lovers of money. Are they out of God's time? Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, two-faced, double-minded, greedy, having a form of godliness, but what? Denying its power. And from such people, what? Turn away. Do you know why he says turn away? So you don't get caught up in their time and come out of God's time. Does everybody understand that? He says, turn away. Don't hang out. Don't do anything with them. Why? Because you become a part of their time. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. Well, that's why he said, bad habits, what? Come on now, what is it? Good habits get messed up by corruptible people. Let's just show serpents that bite and plant deception. Make it real simple. People begin to act up, you know they just been bit by a serpent. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Start at verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, because you should know them already. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord who so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we, whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as also you are doing. Now, there are going to be many people who do not know the times and seasons, and they will not know the return of the Lord, nor the drawing near of the rapture. They won't know it. Amen? So the Bible says that we are to know the times and the seasons, aren't we? Amen? And 1 Timothy chapter 4, go there for a second. In verse 1 it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. What's happening? Those deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons are moving people out of God's time, aren't they? Oh, hallelujah. And Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. starting at verse 1. It says, Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, an acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before what? Before time began. Wow, is that powerful? So there was promises before God created time. Why? Because he's eternal. You know, our little pea-brain mind try to put God in a box. We try to figure out, let's see, you know. Man, I'm telling you, today I began to look around, and as the Holy Spirit began to impart in me certain things, began to look beyond the veil. It was like if I had this big eraser, erase everything. To me, it was a whole picture today. It was just a picture. That's all it was. The reality that hit so strong was just a picture. And the reality that I'm not about time. I'm about Him, which allows me to walk in His time, which allows me to be eternal. Oh, hallelujah. Let's see, we're in verse 3. Let's start at verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. So the promises were before God elected time to begin. That's why you were predestined before time. You were preordained before time. Then you were brought in. Remember, Adam and Eve were created for eternity, weren't they? But Daddy knew. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Read it with me. Be what? Sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He called you in His holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. That's powerful. Come on, most of us were brought up as, you got to have the money. What are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to be? What kind of job are you going to get? Well, that doesn't pay enough. You need to go to school and get an education so that you can make more money. Amen? I mean, people were going to school to get an education to make more money. There weren't too many people going to school to get an education to help one another. It was imparted that money. But with the precious blood of Christ as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Years ago, there was a young girl. The family did not know what to do with her. In fact, she used to chase the mother around with a knife and try and kill her. She used to cut herself and all kinds of stuff. And she called us, and my wife went to go see her, ministered to her, and we began to pray for her and so forth. And she'd gone through deliverance, and she was a young girl, about 19 or 20. And she began to, and she was on like summer break. In fact, no, she was still in high school. And they thought she was going to fail everything. And within 2 weeks, this girl became an honor student. And all kinds of things began to happen. She graduated and she spent basically the summer with my wife and myself. And this young little girl was on fire for Jesus. She was prophesying, laying hands on people. All kinds of things were happening. Well, the summer was over and the parents were making her go to college. And the word of the Lord was upon her that she wasn't supposed to go, that God was going to use her to preach and minister, and he would make the way. But the parents were paying for everything, and so she had to go. And the first day she went to school, she came over to the house weeping and crying, and she knew it wasn't God's will. And we told her that we were there for her, and it, we prayed that boldness would come upon her and she would do God's will. Well, about a few days went by and she was still struggling, and so her family convinced her that the education was important. 2 weeks went by, we didn't see her. Weeks went by, we didn't see her. Ran into her once in a while, knew things were changing. 2 years went by, we got a call that she tried to commit suicide. Another year went by and we found out that she was doing all kinds of things on the internet. We went to go see her. She wouldn't let us pray for her. And she believed everything that happened was nothing but a fake. The devil stole it all. I pray for her every single day still. But I saw a child walk in God's time and a devil take her right out of God's time. Because of the ignorance of the parents. They didn't know God's season nor time. Remember, I share with you, the Bible says that your house will be saved, but if you're not in God's time, you're not in God's will. And her parents are not in God's time nor in God's will. And she's lost. But I believe God will rescue her one day. Amen? So the Bible says, conduct your time in fear here. Now let me share something with you. Very important. The Lord established 7 feasts of the Lord. There are feasts of the Lord. There are 7 feasts. That's a part of God's time and season. And the first feast is called Passover, right? There are 7 feasts. Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Pentecost, Trumpets, Atonement, and Tabernacle. I'll repeat them again. Jesus is the only one who could fulfill the feast because it was a time of season, so that his people could be reminded of these events. When Jesus came into the world, he began to fulfill the feast of Passover that the Jews celebrated when they left Egypt. Then they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread. When Jesus died on the cross, he was the Passover. When he went to hell, it was a feast of unleavened bread because leaven meaning evil. Then there was the feast of first fruits, which represents resurrection. Then there was the feast of Pentecost, which when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it means 50, which was 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. And the next feast to be fulfilled is called the Feast of Trumpets, which means the rapture, where Jesus comes and takes the church. So if he filled the first 4 feasts, you know the next feast is going to fulfill too. But if you don't know the time and season, right? And if you're not in God's time, is it possible that you may miss the rapture? Yes, because if you're not God's will, you're not in God's time. And if you're not in God's time, you're not in God's will. That's what he calls the wise virgins and the foolish ones. So the feasts were designated by God from the beginning so that we would know the time and season. Amen? In Acts chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 3. Is everybody okay? Verse 18. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So what is he saying? Listen, it's time to repent, so that times of his presence would be refreshing. Amen? Times of his presence. See, so many people don't even know about harvest time, and they miss their harvest. There's even a harvest time that goes on. What you sow is what you reap, right? So you're sowing for a harvest, right? Well, as long as you're walking in God's time, that harvest is going to come. When you move out of God's time, the harvest gets stolen. Hello? That's why the Bible even tells us to warn a righteous man when he begins to sin. Or if he breaks covenant. He goes, go tell him. He says, so that righteous man can be brought back, but everything that he's done will be gone. What did he do? He lost his harvest. Lost everything. But his soul will be saved. Why? He walked out of God's time. Is everybody okay? Go to Ephesians 5. A couple more scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 15. Read it with me, please. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Because the days are what? Evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns, spiritual songs and singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, of submitting to one another in the fear or reverence of God. Redeeming the time, not wasting the time. 2 Corinthians 6. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Praise be to God. You know, it's just like somebody going to a class. Even in our discipleship program, people can come and do time and get nothing. Think about it. They can come and do time and get nothing. Because it's not about doing time. It's about doing God's will. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5. I mean, no. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, sorry. First two verses. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in acceptable time I heard you, in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So listen, if you're coming to these Bible studies and you're not in participating, are you really getting it? You know what I'm saying? Are you really getting it? Because you must put God's time to practice. Amen? Does everybody understand that? You must put God's time to practice. That's why the Bible says anyone who practices unrighteousness or practices the things of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we must put things to practice so that we can walk in God's time. Why? One of the things he wants us to know is to become like-minded with him. He wants us to learn his character. He wants to know. Listen, God doesn't answer you on every single thing. There are some things He expects you to know and expects you to do. Amen? Just like when you go to a stop sign, you don't have to pray to stop. And when the light turns green, you don't pray to go. It's expected of you. And there are certain things in the Spirit and God's kingdom that are expected of us that He does not answer us. They're expected. That's why we must learn God's time. You know Him, you'll learn His time. You'll learn His time, you'll know His will. See, if you understand His time, you'll know what to do, which is according to His will. Amen? It's so important that time become a reality to us and we stop wasting time. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 2. Some people, you've been pondering something for years because you're not knowing God's time or walking in God's time. Starting at verse 1 in Ephesians chapter 2. Would you read it with me, please? And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in His mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that the ages to come He might show the exceedingly riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God. Amen. And I want to close at Revelation chapter 1. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1, first three verses. Would you read it with me? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which gave God him to show His servants. To what? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to what? Show His servants. Wow. Things which must shortly take place. And He sent and signified it by His angel to His servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Time must become a reality to us. Time is God's will. Time. Let us stop wasting time and get it's God's time. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we just take this opportunity to repent for wasting time. We repent for the foolishness of the lust which and agreeing with the powers of darkness that have pulled us out of your time, which is your will. Lord, I pray us right now the blood of Jesus and every seed that's been imparted, that it will grow and bear fruit for your glory. And that the revelation of the reality of time will be imparted to each and every one here today. In Jesus' name.